Good day, and welcome to the TGS first quarter 2017 update conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kristian Johansen. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, and welcome to the TGS first quarter of 2017 conference call. My name is Kristian Johansen. I'm the CEO of TGS, and joining me today is our CFO, Sven Børre Larsen. This morning, we posted our first quarter earnings release and hosted a webcast from Oslo, and I hope that you had the opportunity to view this morning's release, and we will now just give you a brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. In Q1 of 2017, TGS had total net revenues of $86 million. That's up 35% from Q1 of 2016. And this improved performance was driven by late sales, which was actually 82% higher than last quarter. While I'm pleased with these improved results, we should recognize the fact that they're still modest from a historical perspective, highlighting the challenging market or the remaining challenging market that we see. Operational multi-client investments during the quarter was about $58 million, in addition to the $5 million from risk-sharing arrangements. And our operating profit was positive at $2 million compared to a loss of $21 million in Q1 of 2016. Earnings per share, $0.02, which is up from negative $0.20 one year ago. Our cash flow from operations was strong this quarter. We had $185 million. That's up 27% from the same quarter of last year, reflecting the strong sales performance from Q4 of last year. We had a free cash flow of $74 million, resulting in an improved cash balance of $248 million. And this comes in addition to the undrawn $75 million revolving credit facility, which means that we have about $325 million in liquidity, which is obviously a great asset in a challenging market like this. We continue to pay a quarterly dividend, which will once again be set at 15 cents per share in Q2 of 2017. And despite the continued weak market, TGS has been successful at securing pre-funding for 2017 projects. Our cash flow generation and pipeline of investment opportunity position as well to enhance our status as the world's leading multi-client geophysical company. So our financial guidance for 2017 is unchanged, although probably higher visibility on the investment side. So we're guiding new multi-client investments at approximately the same level as in 2016, of which most of this is already committed. Additional multi-client investments expected from sales of existing surveys where we have these risk-sharing arrangements. And then we expect to have pre-funding on new multi-client investments of approximately 40 to 45%. And given the relatively low pre-funding in Q1, we need higher pre-funding for the remaining three quarters of the year, and we feel quite comfortable that, given our current backlog, we should be in a position to get to 40 to 45 for the full year. So with that, I would hand it over to the operator who will lead the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And our first question comes from the line of Gregory Brown of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. You said that you've got 200 million, I think, of surveys committed for the rest of the year, leaving only about 20 million until you hit the cash investment guidance. Could you perhaps frame the upside risk to that number, i.e., what would it take for you to sanction additional surveys? That's my first question. Thank you.
Yeah, I think with what we announced this morning, we're pretty close to the guidance, which is basically at the same level as last year, which means around $220 million. So we're actually in excess of $200 million committed as of now, which means that if you see any further announcements of new surveys of a significant size or a certain size, you will see that we need to change our guidance upwards. So there is certainly more risk on the upside than on the downside in terms of investment for 2017.
And in terms of those surveys that you are considering going ahead with, can you give us some indication as to the split between onshore and offshore?
Yeah, I can't really give you a split right now because we're looking at multiple opportunities. So I think in general, I think we have We see some pickup in interest in the U.S. onshore market, and as we announced today, we're actually increasing the size of our first Permian survey, West Kermit. And we're looking at other opportunities, U.S. onshore as well, but we set a quite strict criteria or target for pre-funding, so it's still rather uncertain whether you're going to see any new investments in 2017. We're obviously working with that, and we set a target for that. In terms of offshore, there are multiple opportunities, but again, I mean, it all comes down to the pre-funding that we can secure in advance. As you know, we don't have any assets that we need to keep busy, so we only make an investment if we see that it will yield the returns that you guys as shareholders would expect from a company like TGS. So I cannot really give you a split, but what I can say is that we're looking at multiple opportunities, and it all comes down to our risk profile and how much pre-funding we can get. And okay, and you should also keep in mind, and I mentioned this morning, I mean, if you look at the summer season of this year, we're going to have 6 3D vessels active in mainly the Eastern Hemisphere. And I cannot recall that we've had that many vessels active at the same time in recent years, which means that we're actually investing in data volumes right now. We're probably, our investments are pretty close to all-time high. But if you look at the dollar investments, they're quite low compared to what they've been in the past. And that obviously means that we have secured very, very good rates in terms of the acquisition that we're doing this summer.
Then perhaps if I can, just to follow up on that point, as you say, you're going to be exceptionally busy during the summer using those 3D vessels you've secured at, you know, record low rates. One of your peers has discussed an emerging theme of potentially stronger pricing for their vessels. Is this something that you're seeing when you think about additional surveys and when you talk to the market?
We haven't really seen that, but I mean, most of the capacity that we have secured for the summer season is secured a few months ago. I think in terms of the future, I think it's not unlikely that we're going to shoot more this year than what we planned for, just because there is a kind of a hedge for increasing rates in the future. I'm not saying that rates are necessarily going to be higher in 2018, but it's a good hedge for us to take advantage of the current market, because we don't think that rates could go any or much lower than today. So you'll probably see that if we have the choice, we're probably going to shoot even more in 17 versus 18. But we haven't seen a pickup in rates yet. That's probably a fair answer to your question.
Okay, gentlemen, that's very helpful. Thank you very much. I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Maria Laura Adorno of Goldman Sachs, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Essentially, it's a follow-up on the question that I was just asked. I was just wondering if you could maybe talk a little further with respect to the pricing conditions that yourself are seeing in the current market. And then one of the comments that was made this morning is that you still expect, in terms of amount, values, the exploration capex to be down. But I was just wondering if you could maybe dig a little further with respect to the allocation that is linked to seismics rather than broader exploration and the other subsequent oil service companies that are exposed to. And on the back of that, maybe if you could talk a little more about how you see that trend evolving over the next few quarters and into 2018. Thanks.
Yeah, I think to answer your first question regarding rates and cost of supply, I don't want to be too specific on the rates that we see in the market or the prices that we pay, but what I can say is that some seismic companies have been quite good at reducing their cost base quite substantially during this down cycle, and some of them have been through some financial restructuring, which means that the debt payments are significantly lower to what they've been in the past. So it's the cost base is obviously much lower than what it's been. At the same time, the utilization is rather low, so there's a lot of competition of getting new work. And it's obviously, you know, we're trying to take advantage of that. We're trying to invest counter-cyclically, and I think I gave you a good example of that this morning when I showed a slide of all the activity during the summer season. But despite that high activity level, our dollar investments are not that high. So I think that's the best answer we can give in terms of the rates. I mean, it's quite obvious that rates are very, very low right now, but it's partly because of strong cost management among the vessel providers and a lot of competition in that market. In terms of our view, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry.
Yeah. In terms of the exploration spending going forward and what we talked about today with the exploration spending going down to, you know, probably 15% on a year-on-year basis, that's certainly a lot due to, you know, rig contract being rolled over to much lower rates, and it probably doesn't reflect the reality in seismic in the same way. What we're trying to say is that there is still a challenging market where exploration is down, where the oil price is under pressure due to a kind of an expected imbalance in supply and demand. But then again, there is also a positive story, and the positive story is that oil companies have been really disciplined and quite effective in cutting their costs during this down cycle. And that's what we showed this morning on one of our slides, where we show that the Q1 reports were actually surprisingly good, and most super majors actually beat the street quite significantly in terms of the new cost base and cash flow. And I think you had one third question, where I would have to ask you to repeat that, please.
No, so essentially, ultimately, what I wanted to get a sense is, and I think to a certain extent you've already provided me the answer, that to a certain extent I wanted to know if the market was actually improving for seismic in terms of volumes, maybe not on the pricing side, but from a volume standpoint. Are you having more conversations than at the same time last year, for instance?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Q1 2016 was an extremely challenging quarter, and we've seen a slight uptick since then, quarter by quarter. I think Q4 was particularly strong from TGS, but it wasn't necessarily very strong for the whole industry. And I think you will continue to see some volatility in the results. And basically that means that you will see in any quarter, you will see one seismic company with a negative profit warning, and you could see another one with a positive profit warning. And I think that's kind of a picture that we should just get used to, because that's still going to be the case in a market like this. We still think it's going to take a while before the market really gets back to normal, but then again, referring to our slide this morning about oil companies' Q1 results, it's looking better, and we think that oil companies, we know that oil companies have been very profitable in the past with an oil price of between 40 and 50, and we also know that they didn't generate any cash flow with an oil price of 110. But the good news is obviously that we see the first signs of cost discipline and being able to reduce their cost base such that they can operate quite efficiently in today's market. And eventually that's going to lead to higher seismic investments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christopher Møller-Løkken of Sparebank, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Christopher Møller-Løkken in Sparebank 1 Markets. You show a backlog of $121 million. At the same time, if you do take the vessel commitments of 200 and deduct the 58 invested in first quarter, you have future commitments of 142, which would imply that you are actually at 85% pre-funding on the planned projects going forward. Could you please elaborate on how that is compared to that you still maintain the pre-funding guidance of between 40 and 45%. It seems like you have very high pre-funding on the Atlantic margin projects, which will be the main investments for second and third quarter.
Yeah, I'll have Sven Burr provide an answer to that.
Yes, I mean, you have to bear in mind that the backlog of 121 million also contain fair share of backlog for 2018 related to that two-season Atlantic margin project. That's one factor you need to take into account. And secondly, there is also a portion of late sales in that backlog number related to projects that are not yet completed. So it's not all pre-funding revenue for recognition in 2017, though in those $121 million.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Amy Wong from UBS, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I had two questions, please. The first one relates to the change in the pattern of the U.S. Gulf of Mexico license rounds. Are you guys seeing any change in behavior from your clients? And if so, what kind of behavior, you know, are they stepping up some investments earlier in the purchasing cycle now? That's my first question. And my second question relates to more macro is, you know, we had a period of remarkable stability in the oil price in the beginning of the year, followed by a lot of volatility. So can you give us some color in terms of your discussions with your clients in terms of there have been any changes in attitude towards their, towards wanting to spend on seismic in, over the, you know, the first 5 months of this, 4.5 months of this year? Thanks.
Thanks, Amy. Well, in terms of the change of the pattern of the license rounds in the U.S., so the change is basically that from 2007, you will have two license rounds in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico in the central part, and in the past you only had one in March, but now it's only going now it's going to be two, and it's going to be one in March and one in August. And we've already seen the results of the first one, and we actually had quite a decent Q4, partly based on the March round. I think in terms of the August round, as far as I understand, the same acreage is out for bids. I would be surprised if I see a lot of players bidding in August who didn't play bid in March. So I don't think you're going to see a significant change in behavior in 2017. But I think in the long term, when all companies get used to this new schedule, you may see some of the Q4 revenues maybe coming in Q2 or Q3 instead. So you get a kind of a slightly more balanced sales cycle of seismic, but I don't really expect to see a significant impact of that. I haven't really talked to a lot of oil companies who say that they didn't look at the March sale, but they will be very aggressive in August. It will surprise me.
Right.
Over time, I still think it's quite positive. It's always better to have two sales rather than one. In terms of the oil price and stability that we have seen, and then some recent volatility, and especially last week when the oil price dropped to, I guess Brent was down to below 47 for a few hours. I mean, volatility is never good, and I think it has some psychological impact whether there is a 4 or a 5 in front of the oil price. So it's not good. We've seen some kind of a rebound after that. I think stability is quite important going forward. We showed a graph today saying that there may be, or according to EIA, there may be some oversupply now expected from late 2017 and into 2018. So I think in our base case planning, we think that the oil price is going to stay pretty much where it is, and it's not going to, we don't foresee a significant uptick. But then again, you know, the good thing is that as long as it stays where it is right now, all companies will eventually be profitable, and they will increase their seismic spending because they've been there before, and they were profitable, and we were so as well. So that's kind of the positive in that regard.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thanks.
As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. Since there are no further questions in the phone queue, with this, I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Kristian Johansen for any additional closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's good to see a strong improvement in our Q1 results year on year, and I'm particularly pleased, actually, with the progress that has been made securing backlog and a pipeline of new investment for 2017. As you remember, in Q4, there were a lot of questions and concerns related to our backlog, which was record low at $51 million. But we knew at the time that we would have quite a lot of inflow on new projects and felt quite comfortable that our backlog would increase in Q1. And it's good to report a backlog of 121, which puts us in a much better position for the rest of the year. We still expect the challenging market to continue in the short term, as we said today. And we think there will be volatility going forward. But we think that business model we are uniquely positioned with our business model to continue to deliver very strong results. We are pleased about Q1, where we started the year according to our own expectations, actually slightly better. But we think we're well positioned, and we're looking forward to the next call after Q2. Thank you for calling in today, and I look forward to our next meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. that will conclude today's TGS first quarter 2017 update conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.